This is Kiyosha. I'm going to read on a lecture Maitreya gave on the fifth seal universalism at the Feast of Tabernacles, and this was October 5th, 1993. And if you want to follow along with the PowerPoint presentation, if you click right there in the very top, there's a place where you can click presentation. Part one. We are going to talk about the fifth seal and see how God directed it so that we know about it. As usual, the question is, when did the fifth seal start? When did it really start? It started in eternity. Why did it start in eternity? It started in eternity because it is a part of the eternal divine path. As the eternal divine path is eternal, so each seal in it is also eternal. God already knew that he was going to reveal the fifth seal to humanity. The whole plan was already in the eternal level, in God's mind, the universal mind. All the seals are in God's mind. So it started in eternity. It has been there. Excuse me. It has been there. It is there. And it is going to be there forever. Who was the first spiritual teacher of humanity? It was Adam. Who was Adam? He was the first begotten Son, the Spirit of God, who came to humanity as the teacher. He always reveals the seals and the teachings to humanity and brings new revelations. As Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, when morality is low and humanity needs guidance, my spirit will arise on earth. The same spirit comes over and over again. And that is the reason in the Bible it says, he is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the revealer of the revelations and the new teachings to humanity. But when did spirituality really start for the present humans? Do you remember in Tho God said, let there be light? The light went through the eternal divine path, reached the light, and he came back as a human teacher. Then, of course, he brought the teaching of the eternal divine path to humanity. Humans weren't really in these physical bodies. They were more in their ethereal bodies. Eventually, they fell and fell and fell and fell, as it is explained in Tho, until they received these human bodies. Later on, the third eyes were also closed, and the new humans were created, which was mostly intellect. Most of the humans don't even know they have the third eye. They don't know how to look at things from the spiritual point of view, but they look from their two physical eyes. Whatever they see outside is the reality to them. That is what they take as the reality. Eventually, they became so low that God had to reveal the teaching for humanity to a very few elects. That was when Noah brought those rituals of burning the flesh. God created a rainbow, and he said, anytime I want to destroy the earth with rain, I will put a rainbow in the sky, and it will remind me that I promised Noah that I will not destroy it by water. So the first seal, which is the mystical path, was revealed to humanity through Noah, and of course through his sons and all their children. They were the people who settled in Egypt, India, and different places on the earth. They eventually became the spiritual teachers for humanity. That created the first seal. God had more than just a mystical path. He had to reveal the second part to humanity. How did he reveal the second part? He chose Abraham. Of course, a long time after the first seal was revealed. Humanity was divided into different kinds of people. The Vipras, intellectuals, the Shudras, workers, the Kshatriyas, warriors, and all that. Read Tho for more information. Eventually, from the spiritual branch, Shem, He chose Abram as a chosen person. Most people know the story of Abraham and his children. God told Abraham to leave his family, not to go back to his country, to stay in the United States and teach the eternal divine path. And there was laughter. There is a similarity there, isn't there? He said, you can't go back to your home. You have to stay here to teach this teaching. So Abraham had to obey. He took his wife and everything and left. Eventually, he had two children, Ishmael and Isaac. And the story goes on. God blessed Abram first, and then he changed his name to Abraham later on. Of course, we know the children of Abram, through Ishmael, became the Arabs, who covered Saudi Arabia, all through most of the Middle East, North Africa, and all the way to South America. They are the children of Ishmael. Later on, he also blessed the children of Israel, and they became the Hebrews. They were divided into 12 tribes. We talked about this in previous lectures last year when we spoke about Islam, and the year before when we spoke about Christianity. So the children of Israel became the people who lived in Israel, north toward the west, all the way to Europe and the United States. They are the children of Israel. Where do the children of Israel meet the children of Ishmael? It is in New Mexico, who are in South America and Mexico. They are the children of Ishmael, who are in North America. They are the children of Israel. So New Mexico is a meeting place. We are in a place where these two children meet one another. And then there was a question, Maitreya G., is it that South America has the Spanish people and they from Spain are part of the children of Ishmael because they were mixed with the Arabs? Maitreya said yes. The Arabs are pretty good at making children because the men can have as many wives as they want. Also, that was permitted by God to spread the seed of the Arabs and the Islamic teaching. The Arabs were in Spain for 200 years, and that is why a lot of Spanish people have Arab blood in them. Even some of their names are still Arabic. Their culture and their buildings made of adobe were influenced by the Arabs. There is an Arabic Islamic center in Abiquiu in northern New Mexico, which is almost like a Spanish building. It is a little different, but of course you would expect for it to change a bit as it goes through the evolution, the influence of different cultures in time, etc. Also, Spanish people were influenced by the European culture. After the Christians eventually conquered Spain, the Christians took over, and the European culture came into it. So there was the influence of Europe in it, too. Also, the Arabic culture stayed with them, and that is why they even have the name Mansour, a Spanish last name, which comes from Nasr or Nasser, which is completely Arabic. Or they have Our Lady of Fatima. Fatima was the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, and they have Our Lady of Fatima as one of their saints. So you can see that there was a lot of Arabic influence there. Also, their facial features, Spanish people and Arabic people look somewhat similar. So in that way, what God promised Ishmael also was fulfilled. Not only did they come from Arabia and went to North Africa, but also they went all the way to South America. Question. The lost tribes of Israel came to North America? Maitreya answered yes. When the children of Israel had to leave, because the Assyrians were coming, they couldn't go to the south of Egypt. Their enemy was there. And they couldn't go to the east because the Assyrians were there, and they were also their enemy. And they couldn't go northeast because there was the Caspian Sea. So the only place they could go was a little north and west. If you study the Book of Mormon, that is exactly what it says happened to those Israelites. They left Israel before the Assyrians came and destroyed them completely. They mostly came to the west. We can see that those people went to Europe and settled there. And actually, some people say that the kings of England are from one of the sons of the people of Israel, lineage of King David. That is what they are trying to say, because God and his, David's, kingdom was going to stay with Israel forever and ever. So they are trying to connect the kingdom of England to the children of Israel and conclude that God's promise came through and kings continued coming from the children of Israel. Back to our lecture. God changed the name of Abram to Abraham, and he gave him a promise. The promise was the material blessing and the scepter. The material blessing is the territory that we said he promised to give the children of Israel, a large territory. They went all the way to Europe and the United States. He also promised the same thing to the Arabs. Arabs are all the way from Saudi Arabia to North Africa, to Spain, and to South America. So he fulfilled his promises. Those are the second and third seals. See, that is how history should be taught to the children, according to the plan of God. If they teach history according to the plan of God, it will make more sense, and it will be much easier for all the cultures to mix together and see how they are related to one another. If you truly study it, as we said, Spain was under the influence of the Arabs for 200 years. Actually, Europeans traveled from Europe to India, and that is why if you look at the people in India, the people in northern India are whiter in color than the people in southern India. That is because the Indian continent actually came from Africa. It was disconnected from Africa and went underneath the continent of Asia. And still, it is pushing the continent of Asia to a higher and higher level. That is how the Himalayas were created, and they are still rising. So the people who came from that land were dark-skinned. Then, when it went underneath the Asian continent and started pushing it up, the Europeans came from Europe and went to India, to Persia, and to Assyria. That is where Abraham came from, and the whole story started. The original European language, which you can find mostly in Ireland, is the kind of language that they used. That language came and mixed with the Indian language, which was a Semitic language, African language, etc. Of course, not the exact dialogue. The meeting of these two languages created a new language, Indo-European. They both were influenced by one another. That language eventually influenced the Hebrew and Arabic languages. The Hebrew language is very close to Arabic because Isaac, children of Israel, and Ishmael, Arabs, are brothers. Both are from Abraham. If you now study Hebrew and Arabic, you see so many similarities, both right from right to left. Both have a lot of words the same, etc. And later, this language circulated back to Europe. The Hebrews came to Europe, and also the Arabs went to North Africa, and they went all the way to Spain. The Spanish language was greatly influenced by Arabic, and then from the Spanish language and European language, French evolved. If you study French, it is very close to Spanish. Actually, you told me that he was saying this to of someone named R.D., you said that they have a Latin root, but really both Spanish and French have been very much influenced by the Arabic language. The Arabic language is very powerful. They also have male and female for each name, like French and German. When the French conquered England, French became the cultural language of the English people. And after a while, if you were a noble person in England, you should have known French. There was a great influence of the French language to English. But of course, English eventually evolved itself into a completely separate language, which carried the influence from French and other languages in it. That is why now we say that we want to have an international language, My recommendation is that everyone should learn English so that we can all communicate in one language at least. And the people whose native language is English, I recommend that they also learn another language besides English. Any language you learn, it opens a new world to you. As people learn different languages, they will mix with each other, and they will come up with a new language that is going to be much more powerful than any language we now have on Earth. So we can see that culturally everything is interrelated. There is no separation between cultures. No culture is an island. No one can say we kept this culture isolated and we never mixed with anyone else. That is an illusion indeed. God may create wars just to mix cultures together, as he has done before. Why do all these wars happen? What happens in the wars? There is destruction, but also people become mixed culturally. We don't need that anymore, I hope. We can culturally mix now without wars and destruction, with tourism, traveling, and going to other cultures for education, etc. This is the way history has to be taught to humanity, so people can see how they are mixed culturally. And also, they can start to understand one another in a deeper level. We have never had as much communication and fast transportation as we have now, but now it is very easy to mix, study, and become familiar with one another. The children of Abraham and the children of Israel were the second seal, as we said. The Old Testament always talked about the community, the tribes, and the 12 tribes of Israel. That is the message of the second seal. It is the tribes, the families, and the community. That is the base of his kingdom. The community and the family are the base of the kingdom. Then, of course, Christ came, and that was the third seal. Also, those blessings of the scepter and material blessing were given to Prophet Muhammad. All these things were covered so far in the lecture in the previous years. Now we are going to talk about what happened after Islam. Prophet Muhammad had never chosen anyone as his successor before he died. So after him, a problem of succession started in Islam. The Arabs never chose a very young person as their leader. Culturally, you have to be mature, older, and a proven person in the community and the tribe before being chosen as their leader. When Prophet Muhammad died, there were some candidates to fill the position of the leadership. There was Prophet Muhammad's son-in-law, Ali, who was the first person who converted to Islam. Ali married Prophet Muhammad's daughter, Fatima. And there also was Abu Bakr, friend and close disciple of the Prophet, and a few others. Also, Iran, Persia, had not yet been conquered. There were a lot of Persians who had converted to Islam and who had been with Prophet Muhammad. The Arabs were mostly nomads at that time. They had tents in a few cities, but they never had any empires. But the Persians had the Persian Empire, and many Arabs probably worked for them. The Persians probably did not consider Arabs as cultured, etc. So there was kind of a cultural clash between the Persians and the Arabs from the very beginning. And probably there still is. Because of that clash, the Persians politically tried to promote Ali, the son-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, as the successor. But, as we said, the Arabs will not accept a very young man, and Ali was a young person when Prophet Muhammad died. These things are probably Greek to you, because this is the history of a culture that you have never studied about before. But for our revelation, for understanding what happened later on, it is very important to understand these things. And that is why the Middle East is such a mess, because there is such a deep-rooted cultural background. They have so many different ideas and interests, and they have a lot of clashes with one another. The people who chose the leader eventually came up with another one of Muhammad's closest disciples, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was an old man. He was probably the second person who converted to Islam. They chose him and called him Caliph.